Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Encouraging you to live as an ambassador of God's kingdom in the world. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, it is time to rise and shine. And if you have not yet seen the sunrise this morning, it is glorious. Absolutely glorious. So take a moment to revel in the goodness of God today. If you haven't already, go, you know, pull back the blinds and pull up the shades, run to the window, like all of that. Just glorious, glorious sunrise this morning.
That's something us Northerners get to enjoy a lot.
I'm you just Southerners saying just you're don't spoiled. You're rich in sunrise.
Yeah.
Your sunrise is stunning.
It has to do with the curvature of the earth, but I love how here in the north we get these long twilights.
Stunning.
You know, it's just beautiful.
It's just stunning.
It can be. Yep.
So all glory be to God this morning. I'm Carmen LaBurge. That was Paul Perreault. We are here with you on Mornings with Carmen here on the Faith Radio Network. Thank you to each and every person who participated over the last 4 days in our spring fundraiser. You guys showed up bigly, and we are so, so very grateful. If you happen to have been listening at the very tail end of the fundraiser yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you heard Susie Larson really just giving glory and praise to God for getting us to 90% of our goal. Like we had a big stretch goal for the fundraiser this year, and we got to 90% of it just right there at the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and I are here this morning to tell you we're now at 95%,
yes,
which is just, again, we're just, I don't know if gobsmacked is an actual word, but that's
how I'm feeling
in terms of my gratitude today. So we're going to get to some thank yous here in just a moment. But you know me, we want to lead off with the word of God. Where in the word are you today? You can let me know on the text line the answer, your answer to that question, 877-933-2484. Where in the word are you today? Our Growing Your Faith verse of the day comes from Romans chapter 10. If you're a Romans Road person, this is a stop on the Romans Road that you're very, very familiar with. If you don't know what the Romans Road is, that might be a fun little Googler activity for you at some point as well. So here's the question. Like, this is the question of salvation. This is the question of, literally, like, what must I do to be saved? So let me pause right there. What must I do to be saved? Now, some of you are jumping up and down right now saying, nothing, nothing. There's nothing you must do to be saved. And you are right. I just want to acknowledge there's a couple of things revealed about us in the question itself. What must I do to be saved? Let's begin with just acknowledging it's good to recognize my need to be saved. It's good to recognize, it's good to confess my sinfulness. And then it's good to confess my sin, but you have to have someone to whom you confess it. And then you have to have someone who's done something about it. So it's good to recognize the need for salvation. It's good to recognize that about ourselves, to confess our sins. I mean, if there's anybody out there who thinks you've literally never done anything wrong, you're wrong. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one who's righteous on their own. And then it's good to have the desire to be saved. Like, I mean, what must I do to be saved suggests that I not only recognize that I need salvation, but that I have a desire to be saved. And that is good. And let me acknowledge that. That is actually evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Once you arrive at the place that you not only recognize your sinfulness, but you desire to not only be forgiven of your sins, but to live in righteousness, that desire is put there by the Holy Spirit. God's already working. The challenge we face is that we want to be the one who does something to achieve it. What must I do to be saved? The I do is the problem in there, because there is nothing that you can do to achieve your own salvation. You can't unsin your sins. And you can't offer some sacrifice that's sufficient to reconcile you to a holy God. I mean, you and I can't reconcile our sinfulness to the reality of the holiness of God. Only God can do that. Now, here's the good news of the gospel. Who is in a position to do what needs to be done to save us? God and God alone. And that's what he does in and through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. God has already done everything that's necessary for your salvation. Like, it is finished. All you can do is believe and receive, which brings us to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I memorized it this way. I learned it this way. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God and by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. If you if you've been to myfaithradio.com and you've subscribed to the Growing Your Faith verse of the day, then you are reading it in this translation today. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. What can you do? You can believe and you can receive. God's done everything else. We're so grateful to God for the joy of our salvation and the gift of the community of believers that God gathers unto himself through Faith Radio. So before we jump into any more content, I want to be sure that we give thanks to God and declare our praise to him for the really magnificent way that you all came forward, each one individually with your gift, the right gift that was the amount that God had laid on your heart to bring forward to sow into the ministry of Faith Radio. And if you feel like you missed out, I mean, you can always give. It's just that we're not always, there aren't always those sweet students down there in a call center for you to call, but you can still text the word give to 877-933-2484, and you can always give online at myfaithradio.com. Paul, let's say some thank yous this morning.
Yeah, let's start doing that. We want to thank, going back to yesterday afternoon, a friend from Castleton, North Dakota with their $100 gift.
Thank you.
And then, okay, Washugal?
Washagal.
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 Washagal,
it looks
Washington.
Like you need to wash a gal.
Okay.
Washagal? Well,
this friend is from Washington State, Washagal, Washington. They came in at the team 40 level,
$40
a month. Thank you so much for that. We have Wayne from Two Harbors right there
Wayne.
North Shore. You've not been to the North Shore.
No,
you've been to Duluth.
I think Wayne has had a sunrise this morning.
Oh,
unrivaled. Unrivaled sunrise this morning.
A sunrise on the North Shore is just so
awesome.
Wayne, you are blessed, man.
You're blessed, man. You're rich in sunrise.
All right. And thank you for your $200 gift. Another anonymous friend from Lincoln, North Dakota. Thank you for your $250 gift.
Thank you.
Ashley, a new giver
from Wichita,
Kansas, a single gift of $200.
Ashley, I don't know if you're listening right now, but if you are, I have a very, very, very sweet friend, Bob Howard, who has lived most of his entire life in Wichita. And he just passed from this life to glory. And so seeing Wichita, Kansas on the screen today just absolutely warms my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, more thank yous in just a moment. And yes, the Friday Farm Report all coming up next on Mornings with Carmen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We have so much gratitude in our hearts today. To God, expressed through your gifts, you've showed up just in incredible ways. More than 1,300 friends joined us just in the last few days in the Faith Radio Spring Fundraiser. That is really extraordinary. All told, you brought us within striking distance of our overall fully funded goal for Faith Radio. That is extraordinary. We're just so appreciative and we're so grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jay from Salt Lake City, Utah, thank you for your online gift at myfaithradio.com. We genuinely appreciate that. We've got a friend in Middleton, Wisconsin, joining us for the very first time. Thank you for your online gift of $100. It's just awesome. A friend in Newport Beach, California, I love Newport Beach, California. I spent a summer doing an internship at a church there in Newport Beach, California, what feels like now 100 years ago. But thank you so very much. Your $50 online gift, so deeply appreciated. Praying my Jewish husband will accept Jesus, that my daughter would also acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord, for the hatred of the Jews to go away.
Yeah.
We are right there with you in solidarity in that prayer before the Lord today. Paul, you want to pick up there?
Sure can. A friend from Champlin, Minnesota, coming in at the dollar a day level. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And also, I think this is the last one, Alan from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Thank you for your $100 gift. Says, keep sharing the good word of our Lord and Savior. Yep. We will be doing it because it is so, so needed.
Now, it's possible that Friday is the only day that you tune in. And now you're saying, wait, what? I missed the spring fundraiser. That doesn't seem fair. I'm a Friday listener. All right. Well, we would love to hear from you. The text line's always open. So we'd love to hear from you on the text line. You can text the word give to 877-933-2484. You can always give securely online at myfaithradio.com. If you're listening on the Faith Radio app, there's a way for you to give there as well. And so again, thank you. Thank you so much. Paul and I and everybody else that works here, we love what we do. Your support not only pays our salaries and pays for the equipment and the, you know, all of the regulatory stuff, but on and on and on. And it equips us to be able to say yes when God says, hey, here's a new media I'd like for you to engage in. So one of the things that I feel confident we are going to be actively doing before we have another formal fundraiser, I feel very, very confident in saying that we're going to have a very active presence on YouTube. That's where the kids are.
That's where a lot of people are.
Yeah, it's where a lot of people are. It's actually the number one podcast platform now. And so we need to be there. We need to be actively on YouTube, and we need to have a video component to what we're doing, which for Paul and I, first thing in the morning, scares us a little bit, but we're trying to warm up to it.
Do you remember ever watching the Jetsons when they already had these TV phones and they would have these masks that they'd put on at the first thing in the morning? So,
oh, nice. Yeah, I think that's what we need, huh? We need some kind of... it is possible that there are going to be mornings that that watching this on YouTube might be a kick in the pants. So I'm just saying, because there are some days I'm put together by 6 a.m. and there are other days that, well, I'm not very well put together by 6 a.m. So, but I feel confident we're moving in that direction. That's been something that God has been tilling the soil of here at Faith Radio and inviting us into. And it takes time to do it well. And we only want to do it if we're going to be able to do it well. And
exactly.
So thank you for your prayers in that direction, that God would be removing any and every barrier to our being able to do what we do on YouTube. Some of you also commented like, hey, where did the music go? Like you even commented in the last few days, it was really fun to have Paul back able to just pull up music that fits so well with whatever we were talking about.
It doubled my pleasure. That's all I can say.
That's exactly right. And so, I've explained it to a few people, but maybe you weren't, you weren't around to hear that. So because we repurpose all of this, content for people who listen on the podcast, right? So everything that we do for the FCC on live radio, that doesn't really translate to the podcasting world. The rules are different. And so even though we're licensed to play any kind of music, Paul can grab anything and play it when it's live on air here, we cannot use that same music when all of this content airs on a podcast. And so we don't use it here because we can't use it there. I hope that makes sense to you. And I hope you understand that we're serving a global audience now. And the platform is not only, although incredibly blessed to be, on 34 radio towers and translators across the United States, including now Billings, Montana, but also globally via myfaithradio.com, the stream, and the Faith Radio app, which is the way an increasing number of people listen to the programming. And so thank you for helping us go and grow. Thank you for being patient with us when we make changes in programming. And thank you for your ongoing support. Everything that you hear on Faith Radio is listener funded. It's listener, it's listener support. And so, again, thank you. All right, it is Friday. So when we come back, we're going to have the Friday Farm Report. I don't know if you have a birthday hat or a birthday candle, but you're going to need one because some little chunky puppy is a year old today. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. If you're just tuning in, it's Friday. Okay, the Friday Farm Report. Let's see. Cinnamini is a year old, either yesterday or today. You know, I wasn't present at her birth, so I'm not exactly certain. But yesterday or today, she turned a year old. And she's just so cute. She's mine. I mean, of all of our dogs, she is mine. And so I don't know if you have a party hat or if you, you know, wanted to celebrate her birthday today. But when I get home, I'm going to be celebrating Cinnamini's birthday today. And she will be ecstatic that I have returned. Notably, all of the holes, this is news from my son, Benjamin, who worked very diligently this week to make this happen. All of the holes in the orchard have been filled in. Over the winter, the three dogs just thought that digging holes in the orchard would be a really fine use of their time. Yeah. So, I mean, I really feel like they were in some cases, like, they weren't trying to dig out. They were literally, like, trying to dig in. I don't know if they were digging bunkers, but there were just these holes. And some of them, you know, you could put your whole leg down in there. Anyway, Benjamin very dutifully filled all of those in this week. Because obviously we're going to be spending more and more time in the orchard. And, you don't like to drive on a road that's full of holes. And I don't like to walk in an orchard full of holes. So there you go. The cows, who took themselves on a little adventure outside the fence line last Friday, apparently have been behaving themselves, and they are staying in these temporary pens that that Jim is moving around what was the turnip patch over the winter. And so that's kind of fun. He said it's really been a good time. And Jim has been working on a woodworking project. He is building a new kitchen island. I know.
Nice.
I know.
Nice.
I know. I know. How many different kinds of wood can you have in the same room? That's really my question, because we have oak floors and there's already this beautiful walnut cabinet in my kitchen. And now the island is going to be, it's made out of cherry.
Cherry.
Well, you know, Jim builds stuff out of trees that he cut down like 30 years ago, and he's been keeping them. And
no maple down there?
Well, yes, but you know, he's saving his maple pile for, you know, another project.
Yes.
I know.
Maple is really nice.
I know. I'm just saying that, like, it's like a wood party in my kitchen.
I know.
Well, there you go. All right, what's going on where you live? What is happening? Maybe you are tilling the soil today. I know we had some guys joining us during the Faith Radio fundraiser who were out on their tractors getting ready to plant their spring wheat. What's happening where you are? How is God tilling the soil of your heart these days? Our friends, where would they be? Where would these pictures of the loons be coming from? Exactly.
They said Mound Lake.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Exactly.
Paul
sure
and Denise
is, but...
checking in from Mound Lake. We have a beautiful picture of the sunrise as well as... Can you hear the loons? I know the loons are out there because you're all loons. All the people that listen to the show are loons. Like, all my loons. I know. Well, they texted. There's a loon out there. I'm like, oh, buddy, there's not just one loon out there. We got a whole passel of loons listening to Mornings with Carmen. All right. I love you. You know that. I am so appreciative. So appreciative of you. Okay, jumping into a little bit of content this morning. What in the world is going on in the world? You may have heard that there are some protests happening on some college campuses across the country and maybe in the city that you live in. This gets to the prayer request just a few minutes ago from a friend in Newport Beach, California, about the anti-Semitism that is being expressed against our Jewish neighbors and friends. Let me just say this. Friday, which is today, is a great day to go and buy some white roses or some other white flowers and just hand deliver them to a Jewish neighbor, to a Jewish school or synagogue or your Jewish community center. And you just show up and you just say, I just want you to know that I see you and I love you. That's it. I'm your Christian neighbor and I see you and I love you. That's it. You don't have to say anything else. Because all of the expressions of hatred, you know, those pile up over time and fear and anxiety rises and hate takes a toll. And we want our Jewish neighbors and the people who live in our communities to know that we see them and that they are loved. And so I'm not suggesting that, you know, you show up with a big evangelistic project. What I'm suggesting is you show up with some signs of peace. Right. And so white roses or white flowers in particular have a historic messaging. They don't even have to know exactly what that historic messaging is. You don't have to, you know, do a big explainer. You just show up and you just deliver the flowers and you just say, I see you and I love you. I'm your Christian neighbor and I see you and I love you. I know what's happening in the world and I want you to know that I see you and I love you. Could you do that today? All right. So on these college campuses, these protests are resulting in the cancellation of classes in many cases, and in some cases, the cancellation of graduation ceremonies. I want you to think about that for just a moment. This same class, like 4 years ago, they missed their high school graduation because of COVID. All right. So 4 years ago, the graduating class of 2020 did not get a high school graduation. And now in some cases, like, I mean, you know, the University of Southern California, USC, they have canceled their graduation ceremonies. And I mean, and that's now not going to happen for those young people. And so I want you to just process that disappointment for just a moment and how angry you might be if you had worked really, really hard, not only to get into college, right, but then to get through college. And you've already, you know, you've sent the invitations. People are coming. You've persevered. It's now 2024. You already lived through the disappointment of your high school graduation being canceled because of COVID. And now you're set to graduate from college. Your grandparents were already, you know, making their plans to make the trip to LA to celebrate your wonderful achievement. But last week, your university canceled the commencement address by the valedictorian because of concerns for anti-Semitic comments made by that individual some time ago. And then they canceled appearances by other prominent speakers and honorees because, well, you know, there was such a kerfuffle over the cancellation of the valedictorian speech. Well, yesterday they just threw in the towel and they've just canceled the whole thing. And they didn't even bother to like reach out to every student who would be affected. They just posted it on the university website. There's just this like general announcement. There will be no main commencement ceremony at the University of Southern California this year. And I just want you to imagine for a moment how you would handle that kind of disappointment. How would you respond to that as a believer? How would you handle that kind of disappointment? Something that you had been looking forward to, something that you had financially invested in, something that you had invested your time and talent in. For these parents and grandparents, something that they'd been praying for and anguishing over, right? It takes a lot to get through school. And it takes a lot of support to get your kid or your grandkid through school, your niece or your nephew. Like, we're praying for all of you. If you're in college right now, you have our prayers. We actually do pray for you. How do you handle that kind of disappointment as a believer? Resilience is, I think, an essential attribute of the Christian faith. Resilience. And resilience is the conversation that I would be having today with a student or students or families of students affected by these kinds of cancellations. Maybe your classes have been canceled on your campus because of protests. related to Israel. And you're disappointed because, after all, you know, this is the waning weeks of the spring semester. Maybe you're disappointed in the way your university has responded one way or the other. Maybe you're disappointed in things that have been canceled. Maybe you're disappointed in your local church for the way they have or have not responded to the same crisis. What disappoints you today, and how are you handling that? So here's your assignment. Here's your assignment today. Whoever you are, wherever you're listening from, I want you to write a commencement address. It's not that any of us are actually going to get to present one, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't get invited to be a commencement speaker this year. But here we go. You and I will commence with a commencement address of sorts. Here's your assignment. What kind of commencement address would you write from a Christian perspective that highlighted the need for resilience? What experiences of resilience have you had in your life that testify to the goodness of God? How has He gotten you through? What has your Red Sea moment been, where God has made a way where there seemed to be no way? What was the time that you were desperate and crying out to the Lord because you didn't know what to do and there were no resources and God delivered you in some particular way? What trauma from the past has God seen you through and used to glorify Himself in your life because you are now redeemed? If you got invited to offer a commencement address, what would you say? Mine would be, I mean, you know, this is probably not a commencement address that I would actually offer, but it's one you and I could noodle over today. Mine would be something like, don't be an egg, be a tennis ball. Mm-hmm. Don't be an egg. I just want you to imagine for a moment what happens when an egg gets hit, and when an egg gets hit hard. It splatters everywhere, right? And it's no longer useful for anything. How about a tennis ball? What happens when a tennis ball gets hit, and the harder it gets hit? Does it compress? Yes. Does it also bounce back and surge forward? Yes, it does. So, consider a message about resilience today. What would you say from your own testimony, from your own life, from your own walk of faith? What would you say about resilience? What kind of message would you bring forward, you know, to the kids these days? How have you handled disappointment as a Christian? How is resilience a Christian demonstration of hope in the face of disappointment? You know, the kinds we all experience in this life. All right, we're going to talk about other topics next. We've got, we've got things coming up. Oh, our friend Chris Martin is waiting in the wings. Oh, that is going to be a fantastic conversation. Here's the question maybe to think about as we are moving in the direction of a conversation with Chris. What are your habits related to taking in the news, or really all content, social media content included? What kind of habits have you formed, and do you need some healthier habits when it comes to your not only news consumption but your social media interaction? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Our friend Chris Martin is back. He's now the director of content for Moody Radio. You can check out what he is writing at chrismartin.fyi. Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I am well. I am in the Twin Cities, and there's just a spectacular, glorious sunrise. Like, I got to tell you, we don't see this kind of sunrise where I live. And so I'm reveling this morning in the sunrise.
Yeah, it's gray and gloomy down here in outside Nashville, Tennessee. So I envy. It's rare that in April I would envy Minnesota weather over Nashville weather, but here we are.
Here we are. It's, I'm just telling you, just absolutely glorious today. Okay, so our mutual friend Trevin Wax has a piece posted at the Gospel Coalition toward healthier habits for news intake. I think we can not only have this conversation, but extend it to our other sort of consumptive habits in terms of social media as well.
Yeah, Trevin and I were hanging out last Friday. We were heading to a place to work together, and we were talking about this article a little bit, and just kind of you know, what goes in and what comes out of how we think and how we write and things like that. Trevin's been writing on the internet for well over a decade at this point. I was reading him in college back in 2009, 2010. And he talks a lot in this article about the importance of consuming news, or really just consuming content wisely. And he has a few principles, and I'll just kind of read through them because I think they're worth considering, especially as we go into what will become an increasingly heated election season. You know, it's interesting though about this election season. I feel like everyone's just kind of weary. So I kind of wonder how heated it's actually going to get, but that's a whole other conversation. Anyway, he talks about our news consumption, especially heading into this year. And he has just a few principles. One, pick books over magazines and your phone. And I think this is hard for a lot of folks because books sometimes require a little bit more devoted attention and might be a little less entertaining than our phone or even like a magazine or something we would like to read. But he just talks about how, hey, maybe we should spend, you know, set aside a little bit more time. We probably have more time to read books than we think we do. Those 20 or 30 minute stints that we spend scrolling on our phone or reading another preferred publication could probably be spent knocking out a few books, you know, without us even really thinking about it that way. Sometimes I think it's easy to get in our heads and think, oh, I want to read a book. Well, I got to have like at least an hour set aside to be reading a book. And I think something I've learned being a relatively new parent the last 4 years or so is you can find a lot of 20-minute windows here and there to read books that you maybe aren't thinking about. So I really advocate for this point from Trevin that picking books over magazines or scrolling on your phone, which is perhaps the stronger temptation, is a really good idea. Secondly, he says pick print magazines over online only resources mostly. And I think this is a great point. I don't read enough print magazines like I have in the past. I've got a subscription to Harvard Business Review. I've been subscribed to The Atlantic in the past. But you know, they can be kind of expensive depending on what you're looking for. And sometimes when you get something in print, it just kind of, for me, it just sits on my coffee table next to my chair and I don't think to pick it up and read it. But if you find yourself wanting to read a little bit more long form, thoughtful articles, and you even want to try scrolling on your phone less, you know, spending 10 to 15 bucks a month for a magazine that comes once or twice a month can be a really good way to kind of incentivize yourself to read some more thoughtful content that you might see, you know, delivered via the algorithm to your phone. That might, you know, enrage you or otherwise not really help you in how you think about the world.
It's third, so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me just remind folks, because there's a bunch of folks that just jumped in their car and like, who's talking and what is he talking about? So I'm Carmen LaBurge, listening to Mornings with Carmen here on the Faith Radio Network. We're talking with Chris Martin. He is, among other things, the author of Terms of Service, The Real Cost of Social Media, and The Wolf in Their Pockets, 13 Ways the Social Internet Threatens the People You Lead. And in the context of the conversation that we're having right now, those are the printed books that we're going to encourage you to read if you really want to know what Chris is thinking about and how he's thinking about what he's thinking about. We are in the midst of a conversation about developing healthier habits for our news intake by our mutual friend Trevin Wax over at the Gospel Coalition. We've talked about picking books over magazines and certainly picking books over things that are going to scroll on your phone and picking print over content that is online only. All right, Chris, what's number three?
Yeah, number three from Trevin is pick thoughtful and reasonable online writing over hot takes. So it's like, all right, if you're going to read stuff online, find a few places where you can read some articles on the internet that aren't just reactionary, maybe hit pieces on people or things like that. Those articles can be super appealing. It's almost like junk food, like internet article junk food, where it's just like we want to read that article that will help us justify being angry at that person we disagree with politically or otherwise. And it can be really tempting to reach for that intellectual junk food, if you will. But Trevin advocates for, okay, look, if you're going to read articles online, like if you're going to scroll on your phone, find some places to read some thoughtful and reasonable online writing. And he provides some great suggestions there, and I'd recommend you go check them out. And then next and last, he says, pick podcasts over cable news. And you could even say pick radio over cable news. All of us know kind of the insidious nature of cable news and how, regardless of which side, which network you watch, it can be really easy for the 24-hour cable news rhythm to make us more angry then we know what to do with, or mm-hmm. rile us up in ways that are unhelpful. And podcasts can be really helpful, a really good way for us to consider a wide range of ideas and engage with content that isn't necessarily, hopefully, in a lot of ways, designed to enrage us, but maybe just to make us think more deeply. I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to when I had a commute every day, but when I do listen to podcasts today, maybe one or two a week, I like listening to podcasts from people who have various perspectives on similar issues, because I don't want to get so kind of tunnel visioned and only listen to people with whom I agree and just kind of entrench myself. But I really like listening to podcasts from people who I may not agree with on every issue, but I think may have something helpful to say on something that I'm interested in. I consider someone like we've talked about a lot before, Jonathan Haidt. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Haidt is an atheist who does not believe in God or Christ saving the world. But he has so many helpful things to say about why young people are depressed and how social media and phones are affecting that. And I learn a lot from him. And he and I aren't going to agree on many of the most base issues about life and worldview. But I think it's helpful to listen to conversations with people like him and then use our redeemed Holy Spirit powered minds and intellects to say, okay, this person said something that I really find helpful, even though we greatly disagree about some of the most foundational aspects of life. Now, how can I apply that? How can I baptize that, if you will, and apply it with the gospel to my life and learn from it and become more like Christ through it? And so I think podcasts are a really great way to do that in a way that's probably more healthy than cable news. And I think Trevin makes a great case for that.
That is so great. If you're just tuning in, I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. We're talking with Chris Martin. We're talking about what our habits are related to the intake of information or news, whether or not we are choosing wisely. Are you looking for seasoned writers and speakers and analysts? Are you actually seeking out wisdom? Can you discern between information that's offered and analysis and then commentary and opinion? I think that's a spiritual muscle to develop. Those wisdom and discernment muscles are really important. And then I'm going to encourage you to really consider the worldview, the viewpoint, the purpose, the goal of the program or the outlet or the individual you're listening to. I'm very forthright with you. You know where I'm coming from. I've been walking with Jesus for a long time, and I have been cultivating the conversations that you and I are having over the course of a long life. And I'm doing it now in conversation with other mature Christians. So I'm going to encourage you to do the same. Like, right? This is about becoming mature in our own walk of discipleship and then discerning from all the voices that are out there in the world seeking to get your attention, all the hawkers out there. You know, who are you listening to? And you get to choose, and I'm gonna encourage you to choose, you know, wisdom, and godliness. I'm gonna encourage you to learn to discern between that which is providing you information and analysis versus that which is commentary and opinion. And I tell you, hey, this is my viewpoint, and this is how I'm thinking about these things. And I am honest with you about my worldview. My viewpoint is, you know, is let's get the God's eye view on this. How would God be thinking about these things? What's the mind of Christ on this matter? And then you should know what the purpose or the goal is of every program or outlet or print piece of media that you're reading. What are they after? What are they going for? Faith Radio exists to lead people to Christ and to nurture them and to nurture you in your spiritual growth through Christ-centered media. That is who we are, and that is what we do every single day. And here on Mornings with Carmen, we're seeking to cultivate the mind of Christ on the matters of the day and then work together to apply the mind of Christ out there in the world that God so loves, so that when people encounter us, we are representing Jesus. That's the whole goal. That's what I'm after here. As you read what other people are writing and as you listen to other people out there in the world of ideas, What's their goal? What are they trying to achieve? What do they want from you? How are they trying to influence you? Those are the kinds of discerning conversations we want you to have about what you are participating in the culture of ideas today. We're going to continue our conversation with Chris Martin here in just a moment. What is sharenting? What is sharenting? Like, that's parenting with an SH at the beginning. You know, drop the P and put an SH at the beginning. Just give that a thought for a minute. What is sharenting? That's up next. You're on Mornings with Carmen.
150 million people. 150 million people actively use one particular app every month in the United States of America. I want that to be the Faith Radio app. How about you? If you're wondering how you could be encouraged in your faith at any time, anywhere, well, I got good news for you. There's literally an app for that. You can listen to Faith Radio live, any show on demand, no matter where you are, at any time of the day or night. Download the free Faith Radio app right now. It's super easy. Just text the word app to 877-933-2484 and click the link. Let's connect faith to life.
Are you a parent or a grandparent? How much content about your kids or grandkids are you sharing online? Have you had that conversation? Let's talk about sharenting with our friend Chris Martin. All right, Chris, what is sharenting and, you know, how much of it should we do?
Yeah, sharenting is kind of a term that has caught on a little bit to describe the family influencer culture that's out there. Now, I think it does specifically address family influencer culture, which would be, you know, families who have YouTube channels or TikTok accounts or other social media collectives where they're constantly, like, as a means of running a business, posting pictures or videos or vlogs of their family life. Now, most of us, you know, if you're listening, you might tune out and like, well, I don't do that. And yeah, of course, most of us are not sharing pictures and videos of our family as a means of making a living or even supplementing our primary income. But a lot of us do share pictures and videos of our families and kids. And I think that the lessons we can learn from reading an article like the one we're about to talk about is that I think much of what is done in those families where kids are basically exploited by their parents for some extra money each month, I think we can kind of take that as parents who don't do it as a business or even maybe do it much at all and ask ourselves, does any of this apply to my children, even though I'm not profiting off of it? I think it's important for us as parents, as I'm a relatively new one myself, as I said, we have a four-year-old and a seven-month-old. It's important for us to consider, what does sharing pictures or videos or even just stories about our children on the internet, what are the costs of that? What are the long-term effects of that? And I think it's hard to know. Every kid is different. Every family is different. And every instance of sharing something is different. But here in this article in Cosmopolitan, which I can't remember the last time I read an article in Cosmopolitan and recommended it to anybody, to be honest. But this article just interviews a handful of kids who are, it's almost like child actors, but the 21st century version, which is children who became famous by being in their families' YouTube vlogs or TikTok accounts. And a lot of these kids talk about the effects, the negative effects, as you can imagine, of having their childhoods documented online in pretty gratuitous ways for an extra, you know, $7,000 or $8,000 a month for their family, or in some cases perhaps even double or triple that. But they're basically been saddled with the burden of the financial health of their family because their parents decided when they were born that they wanted to constantly share about them all the time. And I think most parents who get into this kind of thing, as I've gathered reading a handful of articles about this over the years, don't get into it thinking, oh, my family's going to be YouTube famous. Mm-hmm. They just start sharing about their family on various social media platforms. And it's, you know, they're bored. They're maybe new parents. So they're home from work a little bit, taking care of the kids. It's like, yeah, might as well tell the family what's going on with the kids and share a kind of overshare about their kids. And that oversharing turns into, hey, wow, a lot of people are paying attention to these videos, these funny videos of my toddler, or, you know, these inspiring videos of how our family goes about our daily life or things like that. And then they're like, oh, I can make some actual money doing it. You know, I could pay my mortgage with this, or I can even, you know, I could fund a second house in Florida for this or whatever. And then they just kind of go down this rabbit hole of making it their job. And I think a lot of times, as we see in this article, and I've read many articles, frankly, talking about this, is kids are much in the same way that child stars were in the 80s and 90s. Kids are really traumatized by this kind of thing, and like in very real ways. Their childhoods are experienced on a stage almost entirely. And we've talked about that kind of effect on teenagers a few times, I think. But I think we should be aware of this because many of us listening are probably consuming content on the internet in some form or fashion. We'll watch YouTube or we'll scroll Instagram or things like that. We should be aware of this phenomenon of Instagram influencer families or TikTok families that are basically monetizing their family life and sharing and oversharing everything that goes on in their families. And we, I think one, we should opt out of consuming the content so as to not encourage it to continue. And also be on guard ourselves. If we're parents, are we oversharing? You know, we're probably not, most of us probably are not trying to make a living off of sharing everything that happens in our home. But are we oversharing about what happens in our home? Are we maybe making our kids live their lives on the internet in ways that are unhelpful? I don't know where that line is. You know, I don't know what's helpful and what's unhelpful or what's healthy and unhealthy. But I think it's something that any parent listening who maybe creates content about their kids and about their family should ask, you know, when my kid is 16 or 17, will they be embarrassed by what I posted about them?
Right.
If the answer is maybe yes, I think we should probably take a step back.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. Folks are actually posting some things on the on our text line about, you know, oh, hey, that makes me think of this particular individual who vlogs or whatever. Yeah, I think you guys have it exactly right. Somebody's pointing here to the Duggars. That might be the precursor to all of this.
That's right.
I even wonder, you know, if you're thinking about this and you're like, I wonder, you know, what kind of conversation I could have in my own context. Maybe I don't know any, you know, people who are family influencers in this particular way. But I'm thinking, Chris, that we might learn something by having conversations with pastors' kids, you know, like adults who work
for
PKs.
Sure.
Because I do think they grew up in, you know, where their family was the centerpiece of family influence. And that was a lot of pressure for those kids. And that has not always resulted in, you know, in the best outcomes for those individuals. So as you're thinking about family influence and family influencer culture, I mean, don't just, you know, like, I mean, you might just be wagging your head that people are making a business out of their family life. And, you know, sharenting, as Cosmopolitan says here. But there are people over the course of time. My guess is you at some point maybe watched 19 and Counting or some spinoff of it. And so you were a consumer that actually did, you know, advance this in one way, shape or form. And think about pastors' kids and pastors' families and the scrutiny that those children are under and how they're always expected to, you know, look and act a particular way instead of just allowing kids to be kids. So let's think about this a little more broadly and a little more deeply, not just in terms of social media, although that's the place that I think it is most obvious today and easiest to point to. And as Chris said, let's not be consuming that. All right, we got to leave it right there. We're almost out of time in the first hour. Chris, thank you as always so very much. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. We do have another hour up next. I want to continue to say thank you to all of you who participated in the in our spring fundraiser here at Faith Radio. You totally overwhelmed us. God is so good. You guys are so generous. We're just going to continue celebrating that in the next hour. We're going to have some fun conversations as well with our friend Adam Holtz, and I'm going to tell you about the movie I saw last night. So stay tuned for hour two of Mornings with Carmen. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.